You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Download the Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads to get the latest news, videos, and photos straight from the team to your device. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here, bringing in our great producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs, for the mailbag. But before we do that, we're going to go to Virginia. Is it James in Virginia?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, bro?
How you doing, Virginia?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Hey, just a quick question for you. You know, so years and years ago, Belichick gets, you know, the team moves, Belichick's experiment happens up in the northeast. You know, are we going to let the same thing happen in Philadelphia after Chip Kelly just left us at the altar, let him come up, get Mariota, and let him build his dynasty there, and again, just be the total butt of jokes?
You know, I think obviously there's a lot of people who wonder what would have happened, what would it be like if Chip Kelly had come here. Well, he didn't. I don't think that you have to worry about yourself. You don't worry about because Chip Kelly was here and then left trying to compete with him. You got to do what you've got to do for yourself.
Right, and I think that the two organizations, the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles, operate extremely different. You know, Mike Pettine, in his second year now as a head coach, has a great relationship with Ray Farmer, but is not in a place of power. He has input. You know, but that goes to Ray Farmer, and Ray Farmer ultimately, like most teams do, make the executive decision on what direction the organization goes in the draft and free agency and so on and so forth. Mike Pettine then therefore takes that product and puts the best product that he can on the football field. Whereas Chip Kelly now, this season, has gotten control, and we see him making those power moves. And in some cases, this Marcus Mariota thing, you know, Philadelphia might be the only place, you know, as you talk to more analysts and you talk to different coaches, that system that he succeeded in at Oregon and the one that Chip Kelly implemented in Philly might be one of the only few places that he could go and actually succeed in the long term at quarterback in the National Football
League. And they say that's the one place where he would have no kind of adjustment. That's the one place that he can come in and he could play immediately without having to make a big, significant adjustment. That's Mike Mayock's take on it anyway. Let's bring in Jason Gibbs now. Let's get to the mailbag on this Mailbag Wednesday.
All right, guys, starting off today with John Schwert, who tweets at the show. Is this quietly a great class of running backs, but no GM wants to admit it given the taboo of drafting them high?
It is definitely a great class of running backs, and I think you'll see a bunch go. I think you could see a couple in the first round, but you'll see a lot go but in the first three rounds this year, and I think a lot of teams. That's one of the reasons why DeMarco Murray is not getting paid. It's one of the reasons why LeSean McCoy was traded. Teams feel that they can get good running backs in the draft at cheap.
Another question coming in today, guys, from Mikey Martell. What are the chances the Browns sign either Michael Crabtree or Randall Cobb to help out whoever the quarterback is?
I'd say 0% on Randall Cobb.
I think 0% on Randall Cobb, and I think I'll say 25% on Michael Crabtree. And the reason why is I think he'd fit the system as a solid 1/2. I think you still got to get some youth at wide receiver, which we would do, of course, via draft. But then I don't think the price tag associated with Michael Crabtree, because his production has kind of been up and down there in San Francisco as the team has been, might be in the wheelhouse of a Brian Hartline-ish number to come here to Cleveland and kind of woo us in some cases.
Who, you saying Crabtree?
Crabtree.
I think he's going to be too expensive.
Do you?
I do. I think he's going to be expensive.
I don't know if there's that big of a market for him, though.
We'll find out. If there isn't, I would sign him at the right price. It'd be kind of my number two chain mover, for sure. I think for the Browns, you know, when you're looking at where they're going to spend in free agency, I think it would be a cheaper number two receiver.
Yeah.
They might look
more
at
the Hartline-ish.
Yeah, Hartline, maybe bring back Miles Austin, Steve Johnson, Cecil Shorts, who I personally would love to see him get.
Pierre Garçon.
If Garçon gets
cut. You think Garçon would get Crabtree type of money?
I think he'd get more.
Would he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're more inclined to maybe go on the D-line. Dan Williams out of Arizona, 3-4 nose tackle, would be a good fit for this team. I think that, and obviously they're going to have to do something at tight end, whether it be Jordan Cameron coming back, making a run at the transition, Charles Clay, or somebody else that they
I
like.
I know you said it yesterday, and Darnell Dockett's making his way around the NFC West, and of course he wants to stay out there and may, in fact, you know, return to Arizona for the right price, but God, would he be great like Ndamukong Suh would be here in the AFC North.
Another question coming in, especially on the running back topic of the day, guys. Tevin Taylor tweets at the show, do you think we will upgrade our running backs either in the draft or in free agency?
I don't think you have to.
I don't know if upgrade's the right word, but do you think they add on?
Add competition? Well, I wouldn't be opposed to adding a veteran's got maybe, somewhere in their 3 to 5 year mark that's hitting free agency that's not going to be a significant number associated with him. That will just bring in a Josh McCown-esque of play that could potentially start a game, could potentially, take, 10, 12 carries. If one of the two backs were to happen to get hurt at any point, they could fill in as the second-headed monster in that room. But I think we're extremely confident. We heard it yesterday from John DeFilippo that he's excited about these two young backs. They're very similar yet different, which will be a great to add diversity to this Cleveland offense.
I think you don't want to bring in anybody who's going to confuse the situation. So if there's somebody that could be brought in that would come in and just be kind of that mentor. I like Glenn Winston. I know the coaches like Glenn Winston too. So he's a guy that could get another look as the third running back this year. To me, it's going to be all about the top two. It's going to be all about Crow and West and those two guys coming into their own for this team. I don't think you're going to see the Browns be big spenders at the running back position.
All right, one last question today from Paul Myers, our good friend at Paul Myers Golf. Do the Browns try to land a tight end in free agency? If so, who? If not, where would they draft one?
I think the answer is yes, and it's either going to be bringing back Jordan Cameron. And I think if not, maybe they're a team that maybe goes after the transition tag, Charles Clay. I think that you look at this team and you say to yourself, you got to get somebody there. Now, they could also address it in the draft, with a Max Williams.
Could you
perhaps
move back from 19 and still get Max Williams and maybe add a late pick?
I think so. Julius Thomas will be out there. I don't know if he's somebody that would be on the Browns' wish list. You think he might get overpaid because his numbers were inflated with Peyton Manning there. But I do think the Browns will address the tight end position, and it will be more of that pass-catching type of a guy because, as you heard yesterday, John DeFilippo said he's got Dre, and he's got Barnage. He needs to get that, as he called it, an F or an H, who can move around, line up in the slot, and be more of a pass catcher for this team. So we'll see.
We will.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford. Thanks to Mike Garofalo from Fox Sports 1 for joining us, and, of course, Andrew Gribble. Check him out at ClevelandBrowns.com. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Wilhelm and Jason Gibbs, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.